that precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel his presence. My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I had this saving within.
I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
How oft I cried when far away from you my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees. In prayer, I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. Oh God, I know I need you.
I cried, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I had this aching within.
I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
Welcome to the jungle. And it's good to see everybody this morning. And lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. And Brother Allen's over here looking out for those while I speak. So we are on the threshold of VBS starting tomorrow here at the church. And so We're excited about that. It's hard to believe it's been a year already. And I remember last year we had a great VBS, and we went Facebook Live, I believe, about every night. And we will attempt to do the same thing this year. And so you just pray for all the workers. And of course, we want to have a special prayer before we dismiss this morning. And for all the workers and all the kids and the young people, and we just appreciate. Didn't they do a great job on the setting? Let's give a round of applause this morning. Christy sent me a picture yesterday, and I was out and about doing some things, and I said, I love the sloths hanging on both sides. I said, I love sloths. She said, honey, those are parrots. I said, I love the moose behind me where I'm preaching. She said, that's the wildebeest. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I have to go get me some contact solution today. I'm out and about because one of my contacts kept messing up. But anyway, it was it's hard to tell by photo many times on what's what with anything. But yeah, that's definitely a parrot. Those are parrots. And now if they start talking to me, then we're going to be in trouble this morning. But anyway, it's good to be here this morning and appreciate you being here as you are every Sunday. And I do want to take just a moment to welcome everyone, especially our visitors. If this is your first time at Calvary, would you raise your hand this morning? If this is your very first time, okay. That is awesome. You are our honored guest, and we have a card coming to you, a gentleman coming down right now. You fill that out and put it in the offering plate when it comes by. We'd just like to keep a record of all of our visitors and those who have came by to see us. And so we value your presence. Thank you for coming. And again, we have VBS coming up, so pray for that. Just a couple updates on some of our sick people. The last word I heard, Miss Barbara Ann was doing great. She had her heart defibrillator surgery this past week on Wednesday, I believe it was, and she's recovering. The defibrillator took, and everything, the doctor came out and said that she actually did very well on it, and so it's going to be able to keep her heart at a steady pace and then shock it if it tries to stop. But now the challenge is that she's been on her back for a number of weeks, at least 6 weeks, and so she's lost the strength in her legs, and so she's probably going to be in therapy for a little while to learn and practice and strengthen her legs to walk again. And so, but the main part is done, the defibrillator. And so you pray for her and pray for Miss Barbara Anderson as she takes care of her and watches over her. Just have many prayer requests. You can grab a bulletin and please do so to stay up to date on all of our people. Don Nettles, Harold Dolph, remember the Snow family in the loss of their 13-year-old daughter, ATV accident, and Miss Betty Berry, Rebecca Ashworth, Miss Shirley Townsend with her chemo treatments, and again, several people. That's just to name a few. And so please pick up a bulletin. That way you can be up to date on all of our sick people. Yes, there you are. Amen. Amen. Sure is. Yes, ma'am. Well, we praise the Lord for that. And listen, doctors aren't perfect people, I'm telling you, but God does use them, and they practice what they do. So, but we're certainly so glad to hear that. Thank you for that. That prayer.
Yes.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning, and let's worship Him. And whatever you may have brought in here, listen to this, what I'm about to say. A lot of preachers would say, leave it outside, but and I may have even said that in the past, but this morning, you know, you're here, and I know there's things in all of our lives that we deal with and we're concerned about. Just give it to God this morning and allow His Word to filter through it and just see what He might want you to do with what's current in your life. Heavenly Father, we love You. God, we thank You for all things. All things. Lord, to say that we're thankful for all things, that's a blanket statement because it covers everything, but as a child of God, one who has embraced Your salvation and others this morning, that's the conclusion we come to. That You're in all things, You work in all things, and by You all things consist. And Lord, we believe this morning and embrace that ultimately You're in control. You're sovereign, Lord. You're providential. Everything is in Your care, Lord. Sometimes in life we experience tragedy. We experience setback, Lord. Sometimes we're misunderstood, Father. Sometimes there's just the pressure of the day-to-day path we walk upon. But we know, Lord, when we stand back and see things from Your perspective, God, You got it all working together for good. It's like Earth's orchestra. And You're working. You're the conductor, Lord. And there's, and while we are playing our instrument, God, You are the whole time standing afar, beholding the entire orchestra of the world. And Lord, You have an angle that we don't have, and so we trust Your leadership. We love You this morning. Father, we pray for all of these prayer requests. First of all, we give You praise for all of the good report from the Palmers, Lord, their daughter Sharon, Miss Barbara Ann making it through her surgery. Lord, we're just thankful. We pray for the families, Lord, that have experienced loss and experienced their prayer request that didn't go the way that they wanted it to. Be sufficient, be real, shed light, let them know You're still in control. Meet with us this morning in a very special, mighty way. Be with our VBS this week, Lord. May You receive maximum glory and honor. Save souls, encourage hearts. We're just thankful for Calvary Baptist Church, and we're thankful for Mount Calvary. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking for somebody.
Why can't this thing go any faster?
I'm trying.
We have to get to VBS. Hurry up.
I'm going.
I can't wait to go to VBS.
I can't wait.
Love VBS.
All right. they're our safari group, and y'all don't make fun of my hat. It's to protect me from the sun. And so we appreciate our young people. And again, the name of our theme is In the Wild. So what a blessing. Thank you.
This morning, would you stand with me, choir, stand? Could we sing that chorus that says, Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus.
You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. And again, if you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. And we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. Be much in prayer for Vacation Bible School. It's an exciting time here at Calvary. And we encourage you to bring your kids. Don't be afraid. We won't hurt you or let the animals hurt you.
And, real quick, Dad, I'm so sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Tomorrow night, it starts at 6:45, but we ask you to come and register at 6. Every other night after that, once you're registered, you can get here at start time. But we'll begin registering at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and it goes to 9 o'clock. Oh, I wanted to say 9:15, but 6:45 to 9 o'clock every night. If you'll just bring your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors' friends. If you see a child, please tell them to come to Bible school. We want them here. We want to have a great time in the wild, but most importantly, I've asked our church to pray for souls, that souls will be saved, and that all the efforts that we've put in this now and that we will put in this week are all, that's the only reason we're here, is to see kids saved. So if you'll pray for that, pray for the workers. It's long nights. When you have four children to get here every night, I'm going to be sleepy. I pray that you would ask that God would just give us all some strength and help us to get through the week with excitement and energy, and just, like I said, invite people if you see them out, and just pray for us. Thank you.
All right, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Ask him to be with us during the service. Pray for Pastor this morning. Pray for God's blessing on the offering. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, we already sense and feel your presence in this place today. And Lord, we don't take that for granted. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, thank you for the presence of your sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, there is something about the name of Jesus. Lord, it changes hearts. It changes lives. And Lord, that is what we're praying for this week in Vacation Bible School. Lord, that's what we're praying for this morning in the service. Lord, I pray that you would be with our pastor, Lord, to speak through him. Lord, that our hearts would be changed. Lord, we might leave, Lord, a little closer to you than when we came in this morning. Lord, maybe someone's here today that's never accepted you. And Lord, that would be our prayer, that today, this very morning, they'd come to know you, Lord, as the Savior of their life. Lord, accept our worship and our praise here today. Lord, now touch the offering. Lord, again, be with every prayer request that's been spoken and those unspoken as well. Give us a great day today in your house. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in advance for what will be accomplished here today in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I shared this morning with a choir and in our Sunday school class, and I would like to share with you this morning a very special prayer request. I have a dear friend that I work with. Her name is Laura Thompson. She works for the district attorney's office. I work for the sheriff's office, as many of you know. And last Saturday afternoon sometime, her son, who's 25 years old, was traveling from Paulding County back to his home in Temple. Unfortunately, he veered off the road and struck a tree and down an embankment, and he was killed. Unfortunately, they didn't find him until sometime on Tuesday. One of the investigators from the DA's office went to his home, and they were looking for him on Tuesday. And to make a long story short, they found through the Georgia State Patrol's office that Jonah had been killed probably on Saturday, and his car found on Tuesday. He was deceased inside the vehicle. They went and got Scott, who is Laura's husband, and they came to the office there, the courthouse, about 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, to let her know that her son was deceased. I was not there when it happened, but they said that when they told her that a cry just, you can well imagine, shattered the entire office finding out about the death of her son, Jonah. Thursday was the funeral, and I went by early to the funeral home. Laura and Scott, Jonah, the family are very devout Christian people. They love the Lord with all of their hearts. Jonah was a Christian. Thank the Lord. And I walked up to Laura, and she turned and she looked at me. We've had many conversations about the Lord. She's prayed for me, and I've prayed for her. And she grabbed me and she hugged me and she looked at me in the eyes and she said, "One thing I know, the Lord was finished with him here and he needed him there." And I thought about this song this morning. Her cries that shattered the office on Tuesday afternoon. I know that, and we know that the Lord never sleeps nor slumbers, but the song says that our cries many times awake the Master. I'm glad to know that he knows my voice. And when she cried out to him on Tuesday, he gave Laura that peace that passes all understanding. We don't understand why things like this have to take place, but there's one thing for sure. The Lord is with us no matter what we go through. Amen. Please be much in prayer for that family. Pray for the choir as we sing a song that says, "Your cries have awoken the Master."
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, "Where is your faith? Because you prayed." Hit you without any warning. The storm of your life has begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now because you prayed all night. 'Cause you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows. Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken. Child, your cries have awoken the
and give the Lord a round of applause this morning. And I've said many times, I've said it as of late, that the Lord is our sufficiency. I'm going to be honest this morning. Knowing that the Lord is our sufficiency and that our cries have woken the Master, and that truth that He hears us. And, you know, after hearing the story of Brother Allen's co-worker, I want to tell you, preaching is a whole lot easier than living it. This is the easy part up here. And hard part is putting it into shoe leather. It's whenever you encounter these things to absolutely take God at His word. But we don't have to do it on our own. He has grace for those times. And again, we appreciate you being here this morning. And appreciate all the VBS work that's been done so far in our church. Let's take our Bibles for a few moments this morning and I want to start in the book of Hebrews, the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Hebrews 13 this morning, and I'm going to look at one verse, verse number 5. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, verse number 5. Let's bow for prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 5. Father God, we come one more time. No other name but Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful that you hear us. Lord, we're thankful your arm isn't shortened, your ear isn't heavy, you're not asleep. All these ways that the Bible characterizes and explains your activity in our life. We're glad, Lord, that you're ready to reach down. We're glad you're ready to hear. We're glad that you sing over us even and watch over us even when we're sleeping. Much more during the day. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would help us to just rightly divide your word and keep us balanced and calm our nerves and emotions. Lord, how such a story had to hear is still embedded in my heart, Lord, and is tragic. But again, Lord, we rest it at the cross. I'm so thrilled that the young man is in heaven. Father, I pray if there's one this morning that doesn't know you personally as Savior, I pray, Lord, they would inquire today. They would come and respond to the message, and that they would be met, Lord, by church members to talk with them about salvation. Maybe there's one here who's already saved, meaning they know that they've accepted Jesus and his plan of salvation. That's not a question. It's just about what's going on right now in their life. Let them come, Lord, this morning to the altar during the invitation time. Lord, whatever you wanted to do, however you want the message to go out, Holy Spirit, we commit it to you right now. Use us for your glory, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 13. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'm going to call your attention to that last phrase in verse number 5. And a very familiar phrase amongst Christians. And even it's tossed around within the world among those who don't even know Jesus. Sometimes they quote this verse where he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to preach a few moments on this subject, understanding God's presence in our life. Understanding God's presence in our life. Again, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, and I can remember even the first month or two after my salvation experience, I was already familiar with this verse. And it's a verse that's to be familiarized as soon as possible, because to have the assurance through Scripture that the moment Jesus enters your heart, he'll never leave, is an absolute blessing and safeguard in life. I say that because of the situations of life and how there's the ups and downs of life, and then there's situations in families, and there's work situations. And just talking to my wife not long ago, maybe a week ago, and we were talking about people at big companies that just got the walking papers, came in one day and they were let go, and things happen, and they can happen instantly. All kinds of situations. There's physical elements. Our church is very busy right now with people who have cancer and chemo and different things going on along those lines. And every time there's something that goes on physically, the body is in turmoil. There's emotions involved. And with anything that I just mentioned, there's emotions involved. There's with work and, you know, your family and your body and finances, that's a whole other issue. I mean, listen, we're living in times where we need assurance of Jesus. And what's the big deal about God's presence in our life? What is it? Is it such a big deal we should speak about it this morning? What's our knowledge of God's presence in our life? Let me mention this. A lot of Christians, when it comes to this subject of understanding God's presence in their life, a lot of Christians have a very cloudy idea of God's presence pertaining to them in their day-to-day life. Cloudy idea. And if our idea of God and His presence and how He interacts with us in our life, if it's cloudy, it will show up and it will affect every area in our life. There's problems in the home, or not necessarily problems in a bad sense, but there's decisions that need to be made. If our idea of God and His presence in our life is cloudy, it will affect that. At work, at school, all of these areas and much more, not necessarily bad things, but decision making. If our idea of God and His active presence on a daily basis is cloudy, it can surface and show. And so the question this morning is, what is there to understand? What should we know about the Lord's presence in our life? I mean, is it really that important? I believe it is. I believe it's important. It's important because when you know that you have somebody with you, in this case, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all life, the giver of life, when you know that He's with you and He'll never leave you nor forsake you, listen, that is a promise and a security that's there to stay. And if we ask God this morning to just refresh us over this subject of God's presence in our life, I'm telling you, we could leave here this morning and we can go back to that situation at work. The problems will still be there, but we have somebody with us, and we know He has all power, and we know He can open up doors, as Revelation says, that no man can shut. And so let's try to look at some things when it comes to God's presence in our life, and I pray that we'll be encouraged by the time we're through. What shall we understand about God and His presence in the life of a Christian? Number one, we need to understand that God is for us. God is for us. Look in Romans 8, verse number 31 for a moment. We need to understand that God is for us. Book of Romans, chapter number 8, and verse number 31. And Paul says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" I want to say this morning that right off the bat, we have God for us. You may have come in this morning and think that God is against you. Now listen, if you already know His Son Jesus, He's for you. And if you're lost and you don't know Jesus, well, you have the wrath of God upon you. But we're assuming that everyone's saved this morning. And with that assumption, we have God for us. Whatever you may have brought in here, as I said in the very, very beginning, allow God's Word to filter through your situation, because when it comes to God either being an enemy of the believer or a father, He is our Father this morning. We have God for us. Now, we have God for us because, number one, of investment. Look, if you would, in verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good." Notice this word, "to them that love God." To them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to say this morning that God is for us because he is invested in us. God has personally invested in you. He has invested, number one, his darling son. Think about that. Just leave it right there and think about that. He has invested. He gave his son for you and for me. How or why in the world would God not be with us and be for us from henceforth? If he gave his son, he is personally invested. That's why the Bible says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why? Because Jesus is in us, his son. This morning I want it to be known that God is for you. Whatever the devil has told you in recent days, tell him to go back to Hades, a.k.a. hell. That's where he needs to go. The devil's a liar and he's an accuser of the brethren. And I want to say that early this morning in the bed, these scriptures came to my mind and the devil tried to bring up everything, all my faults and failures, I'm telling you, at one time. But I'm glad that I have the Word of God to rest my morning on. Because this morning I said, devil, go back to hell where you came from, because my God is for me. My past is gone. It's in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I can get up and go again. We have God for us this morning. God's for you this morning. He's on your side because he's invested in you. Now, verse number 28 mentions the word them and then them. Verse 29, the word whom. And he goes on in verse 29 and he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, he has planned and purposed our life. He has blueprinted our life, and ultimately, we will be like Jesus one day. What's ever left of the process will be finished in heaven. But he has a blueprint. He has invested his son in our life. He talks about, uses the terminology and the words of them and whom, and he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. And many times this happens through trials and tribulations. That's why he says in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's because God had an overall plan. Before the situation has happened, God had a blueprint and a plan. He is invested this morning. Look at verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In whom he called, them he also justified. In whom he justified, them he also glorified. Can I say this morning that those of us that are saved, we are justified in Jesus. You ask what justification means. Well, in layman's terms, it means just if I had never sinned. So the next time you're laying on the bed getting ready to start your day and the devil says you're a low-down, filthy rascal and you don't deserve anything in your life, you say, I agree. But Jesus thinks the world of me. And this morning we see that we're justified. And God has a plan for us. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And he does this through trials and tribulation and personal struggles. Justified, in whom he justified, them he also glorified. Listen, it is good as finished this morning for the Christian in the life of the believer. I want to say this morning that we are standing in a position where God is for us. He's for you this morning. Regardless of how you feel or what you've been told, God is for you. And he has predestinated us and given a blueprint for our life. He has the plans and he has justified us. We're standing in grace this morning by the mercy of God. and one day we'll be glorified in heaven. As good as done as now. We have started a process of becoming like Jesus, and one day will be the graduation day where we'll stand before Him married to our husband, the Lord, us, the church. Now, in verse number 31, He says, "What shall we then say to these things?" The things I just mentioned. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we need to understand when it comes to the presence of God that God is for us because of investment. And that's the verses I just read to you, verse number 28 through 30. God has personally invested in you. But not only that, but in verse number 35 through 39, God is for us unconditionally. Look in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? You say, "Brother Justin, I know that God is for me, He's personally invested, but when is it that He bails out on us? Is He only going to lead us so far, but when things get so hot and heavy, He's going to say, 'Woo, I never experienced this before.'" Look, the investment that God has in us, Him being for us, is unconditional. He starts in verse number 35 and says, "Who shall, or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword?" Listen, those things that we experience are heavy and hot, and we get bewildered and our minds get cloudy. But God is there, and He is sharp. He never sleeps. He is active and alive, and He is for us. He's our coach. He's our manager. He's not so far in the woods He can't see the forest. That's us this morning. We're so far in the woods at times we can't see the forest. And so God is the one who sees the forest. He's our mountaineer this morning. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's our controller. And His love and rooting for us is unconditional. Look at verse number 36. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This morning we need to know, listen, you start your Monday out, you start your Sunday afternoon out, when you leave those doors, we need to know, it needs to be nailed down and embroidered within our minds and hearts that God is for us. And you need to understand that the next time struggle happens, that He is personally invested in you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And this is unconditional. He'll not bail out when times are hard. You're never going to experience anything that's new to Him. Some of these pro sports and players and athletes, they have these sponsors, you know. Nike and Reebok and Adidas, whatever. Under Armour, they have these. They find these players and, you know, they offer them contracts with them that their name may be attached to their brand. Buddy, Nike's rooting them on and doing, you know, putting Nike on everything and their faces on their commercials and you know, they're for them. But let them slip or slump. Let them slip or stumble in their life. Let one of them athletes go to jail for DUI drinking and driving. Let one of those athletes go to jail or prison. Let something like that happen. Listen, they're not perfect people. Guess what happens to those sponsors? They drop them. Nike drops them like it's hot. Adidas drops them like never knew them. Under Armour forgets about them. They're there for them. They're on their side, but they have to be perfect. What better plan, what better person could you have as a sponsor for your soul and heart than King Jesus? He is for us. He has invested in us. And His investment is unconditional. Listen, He specializes in blunders this morning. When you fall, when you stumble, He specializes in that. By His grace and His mercy, He picks us up and we go again. He will not bail out on you this morning. If God be for us, I'll tell you what I think. I think we ought to charge hell with a water pistol. And listen, that wasn't original. Sometimes you feel that way. And the Scriptures make you feel that way. And when you get a good understanding of who God is in your life, in His presence, listen, the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, allows us to be empowered to live this life. Many times, especially when a person gets saved in those first steps as a Christian, they're not discipled or taken under a seasoned Christian's wing. And what happens is, for the first little while, that new Christian is like, man, God's good. And I mean, I'm knocking the devil out and you're telling people about Jesus. But then after a while, it's like things kind of, you kind of get back your feet back on the ground and you start to realize that, wait a minute, I'm not in heaven yet. I've just been regenerated. I was made alive. That's what that was. By the Spirit of God, I know I'm going to heaven. And then reality hits. And now, man, they're trying to make sense of it. Did I even get saved? Why am I struggling? Because when I first got saved, it was so great and glorious. But now it's like I'm giving in to the devil every day. And I don't want to because I love the Lord. Listen, discipleship is so important of new believers. That they get rooted and grounded in God's Word. Because if you're not rooted and grounded in God's Word, and you don't understand who God is and His presence in your life, when those things happen, you will stay beat down. When those things happen, you can be filled with doubt and fear. But the glory of it is, and the blessing of it is that when you understand, and you want to understand that God is for you, He has a way of allowing His Word to deal with life situations. And you don't have to worry about them. Number one this morning, what should we understand about His presence? That God is for us. Notice something else about His presence. Not only God is for us, but the second thing we need to understand about His presence is God is with us. He's for us, but He's also with us. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 1. Now, He's for us. He's invested in us. Unconditionally, He's invested in us. But on a different level, He is actually with us. So He's not just the fearless leader and not just the one who calls the shots and manages and governs, but He is actually with us. Matthew chapter number 1, notice verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God this morning is with us. Now, He said that they shall call His name Emmanuel. We know that the Lord, our God, has many names. But Emmanuel was one of His names given there at the birth of Christ. In verse 23, the account here. But if you look here, the Bible says His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is. Many of us who have names was named our name because there was a certain purpose behind it. Our daughter Lily, she has a specific purpose for her name. And that is that her great-grandmother, Lillian Hauser, she passed away, I think it was maybe a month before Lily was born. She wanted to meet Lily and wanted to embrace her, but she didn't make it. She was called home to heaven. And so we named her Lillian, after her great-grandmother. We named her that with purpose. And many times in life, parents will search all the list of the names that are, you know, in the now, the names that are old-fashioned. What kind of name, you know, what is it that I want to name my child that has significant purpose? And here in this account, Matthew 1, verse, in our verse here, verse number 23, his name is Emmanuel, but there's a purpose behind that name. And the purpose is, the meaning, the reason why he was named Emmanuel is because he was going to be with man. I want to say this morning that God is with us. He is with us this morning at Calvary Baptist Church. He's going to be with you at lunchtime at Monterey's Mexican Food. You know, little church favorite. Yeah, we got fists bumping up in the back and all of that. Yeah, he's with us. Listen, on your way home, he's with you. At your home, he's with you. When the phone rings, he's with you. And you get the bad call or a good call. God's with us. During the 2 o'clock dead time on Monday and all through the week when we call it the dead time or the boring time when we got to rough through it and push through it to make it through the rest of your work day, God's with you this morning. There's a significance about his name, Emmanuel. And by definition, it means God with us. And listen, that matters when it comes to the life of a Christian and understanding the presence of God. There's times where some, and listen, early in my Christianity, I felt this way. The devil tries to creep up in on me now, but I know the scripture when it comes to his presence. There are times where you feel like, and I did early on, where God has abandoned you. Because if God was with me, I would not be going through this. That was my early on thoughts. I know some of you probably have thought about that. Well, Lord, if you were really with me, then you could have took care of this. Think about Lazarus who died and the sisters were mourning his death. And Mary said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died. Again, there's that if, the if factor. Lord, if you would have been there, he would not have died. We know that God was creating a miracle for the right time. But when it comes to everyday living and living it out and putting it in shoe leather, we need to know whether there are good times or bad times that God is with us. The God of the mountain is still the God in the valley. The God that is in the good times is still the God that's in the bad times. And we'll go a step further. We know that he works all times together for his purpose. We see that God is with us by definition. But then we see that God is with us by creation. Turn to Isaiah 43 for a moment. Isaiah 43. God is with us by definition. Call his name Emmanuel, but it's been interpreted as God with us. But in Isaiah 43 in verse 1 and 2, we say he is with us by creation. And we know he's talking to Israel here, but we also know at the same time that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the overall building and the maturity of the man. And so in verse 1 of Isaiah 43, notice what the writer says. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We have assurance like no other here. I'm telling you, not only did God create Israel and form that nation and redeem them ultimately as a person. Listen, God has created us individually. He has formed us. Even before being in our mother's womb, he knew us and called us and had a specific purpose for us. Jeremiah talks about it. David talks about it. And now the USA don't want to worry about it. About this whole deal with abortion and listen, in life, God's hand has always been in the womb and in the backdrop creating and forming life. We don't ever get political. And I don't want to, because that's not the right race to be in. This is the main race to be in. And if everybody will get this right, there wouldn't even be no politicians to begin with. But since I'm on the subject, I'll say this. This past week, there have been 2 babies found on the side of the road and in the woods in trash bags. Now listen, I'm not getting too far into this, because I'm staying into the message here, but what's the deal with that? I mean, listen, it is closely connected to these new laws and all, and I'm all for the new law. Listen, I am pro-life, and any kind of destroying and killing of life, it's murder. And listen, if you don't want to have to deal with that, then do things God's way. Get married first, then have the bed scene. That's what the Bible teaches. I mean, listen, I heard one preacher say one time, hey, we don't need birth control, we need self-control. And we do this morning. We need self-control in America. We won't have to worry about all that nonsense. But he says here, but now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, that formed thee, I have redeemed thee and called thee by thy name. Look at this. Thou art mine. This morning it's important to know that God is with us by definition, but by creation as well. God formed us. He created us. He formed us. He redeemed us. He called you by your name, and you're his. Let me just make this side note to clear up any kind of confusion. I'm going to tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that everybody that's born to this world is a Christian. We're all creations of God, but you do not become a child of God to embrace Jesus' salvation. Just want to make that clear. And but by creation, he formed us. He created us. He formed us. He redeemed us. He called us. We're his this morning. And you can rest assured, whatever you're going through, whatever tomorrow holds, whatever phone call you have to make after church, whatever you're wrestling with, even right now, you have to work through the emotions and get to the place where you take God and his word is to know that you didn't make you. You didn't form you. It was a miracle. God did that, and he called you. And then there was a time and place where you reached out to him in salvation, and he saved you. He is yours this morning. You're his. You're walking with him, talking with him, and nothing that goes through your life doesn't first go through the filtering hands of God's hand. God is with us this morning. He's with us because that's what his name means. He's with us this morning because he not only created us, but he called us. But look at verse 2. When? It's not if this morning we're going to face tragedy and trials and hang-ups and mess-ups. It's a matter of when. And sometimes those that act like they've never fallen before really scratch, itch me, make me burn a little. There are those who, listen, and I'm not this way at all. I don't have this kind of sour spirit and walk around like that. But there are some people who act like they're holier. They've never messed up in life. And when somebody does mess up, they run right to them and judge them and try to stone them. Listen, we've all messed up. We've all fallen short. And it's by the mercy of God that we're still in the race. So it's a matter of when we mess up. It's a matter of when the trial comes. It's a matter of when the broken dreams happen. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with. Our sponsor's not going to run out on us. He's invested. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Verse 2 is so action-packed, we could spend all afternoon on it. But it says, when thou passest through. And the very word passes through means that we're going through it. when thou passest through the waters. I will be with thee. The times where things have no security, the waters are just running, and they're fast waters, they're moving waters, they're deep waters. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, it seems like sometimes that it isn't that things are going so fast in our life and as it is slow. Sometimes God allows things to slow in our life and we feel like we're in the fire. We experience things at a slower pace. He says, when you walk through the fire, he said, I'll be with you. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I want to say this morning that we have God for us. And he created us. He formed us. He redeemed us. He's called us by name. We belong to him. When it comes to understanding his presence in our life, when you pass through the waters, guess what? He'll be there. Through the rivers, he'll be there. When things slow down and you feel like you're going through something that is just taking forever and the process is horrible, he's with you. You won't be burned. You won't be burned because if it's God providential given to you in your life, then he has a purpose for it. It's God providentially given. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Let me mention one more thing. We have God for us. We have God with us. But then number three we need to understand about the presence of God is that we have God in us. Turn to John chapter number 14. God in us. John chapter number 14. Notice if you would in verse number 17. John number 14, verse number 17. He says, John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Of course, he's speaking before the actual ascension of Jesus after he died and was buried and rose again. And then he tells the disciples to tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so now when a person gets saved, they have actually got the Spirit of God within their heart. In their life. He is God in them, the hope of glory. That's important this morning. It's different angles of looking of who God is and his active ministry in our life. He's for us. He's rooting us on. He's our sponsor. He's with us during the trials of life, but he is actually in us. And that matters because he empowers us. If we didn't have him in us and he was only with us, that would be of some help. But listen, we got to have God in us because it's God not only being for us and rooting us on and being by our side, cheering us on and holding our hand, but since we have him in us, we can be strengthened with power by the inner man. Listen, we have a throne room we can go to. And because the Spirit of God is in us, and when we pray and we reach heaven and we get connected to God, there is a strengthening that takes place from the individual through Jesus by the Spirit to God the Father. We have open access today. We have boldness. We can have boldness and courage and confidence. Listen, whatever, however life treats you, go to him in prayer. And when you go to him in prayer, understand you're standing with him. Close the door and get hooked up with God. It can happen. Listen, understand that when you go before God and you're saved, when you bow a knee and pray, he hears you. He hears you. And so talk to him. Tell him how you feel. And tell him your cares. But if I had a suggestion about prayer life, it'd be this. And I try to follow this, and not long ago we preached upon it. and it's the Acts of Prayer, A-C-T-S. And it's a good way to learn how to really do things in order, although there's really just come to Him and pray, talk to Him. The A stands for adoration. That is, before you, when you come into His presence, you express and give praise for who He is. And listen, this is important. It's very important. You come before His presence and you adore Him. You praise Him for who He is. God, You're all powerful. God, You know all things. God, You're in control of everything. Now let me confess. Now let me tell you my situation. Why is that important? Because if we just merely, and listen, the sinner's prayer, somebody who's not saved, come to God and say, Lord, save me, even as a Christian. Lord, help me. We understand that. But when we come before God and we express who God is, it's prominent for our next step. Then that rolls over to the C, which is confession. You just got through praying and saying, God, You're in control. God, You're everywhere. God, You're all powerful. God, You're mercy. God, You're gracious. Therefore, I confess my sin. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes, listen, any way that works for you, but for me, this has helped to remind myself that God is all things. The C stands for confession. The T stands for thanksgiving. And so we adore Him. God, I thank You for who You are, for Your attributes. God, I confess my shortcomings. But Lord, I want to thank You for the home we have. Lord, I want to thank You for the doors You've opened in my life. Lord, I want to thank You for everything that You do and all the good. Thank You, Lord. But then it's the S that concludes the word, and that is for supplication. And I believe the supplication part is when you intervene in the life of others. You are their prayer warrior. You stand in the gap. You have acknowledged who God is. You are confessed, and you have a thankful heart. Now you're saying, oh God, because of these things, I know who You are and Your attributes. Lord, I'm confessed, I'm thankful, and now I pray for our church, oh Lord. Those who have cancer, heal them. Those who have problems, touch them. And listen, when you pray like that, and you're wanting to reach heaven, and you have an avenue, and you're connected to Him through the Spirit, and you're trying to pray from a sincere heart, be rest assured that you'll touch heaven. The ministry of being a prayer intercessor is a full-time ministry within itself, and it works. It works. You got to be patient. You got to be persistent, but it works. And so we have God in us. He says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Let me mention this quickly. Number one, the God that's in us, the Holy Spirit, He comforts us. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He comforts us. He is there to help us. He is there to comfort us through all of life's situations. But then look in verse 26. Not only He comforts, but He teaches us. He teaches us. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. And so we have this inward teacher. You know, we have this guide, this one who comforts and teaches. In the book of 1 John, he says, and listen, you really got to read this, because if you take it at face value, he says, we have the unction from the Holy One, and no man needed to teach you anything. If you take that at face value, you say, I don't have to learn from nobody. God will teach me everything. And listen, He does. But the unction He's talking about is a smearing of the thumbprint. It's of ointment. And everybody who has been saved and born again have been anointed of God, has been touched of God. Listen, if God has touched your life and saved you, you are anointed this morning. Don't get it twisted that anointing is connected to being charismatic. Don't get that twisted. If you are saved, you have an unction. If you are saved, you have an anointing. And God has touched you and He has come into your life and He will teach you. There's one thing that the Lord teaches us that we don't need to be taught by no man, and that is how to love. Because the Bible says if we don't love our brother, we don't know God. If we don't love our brother, we're worse than a murderer. And so that's one thing that the Holy Spirit teaches us that man cannot. When a person gets saved, you don't have to teach them how to love, because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. And so we see that God in us, He comforts, He teaches. And lastly, we see He reminds in verse number 26 what He says. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He finishes the chapter out with different. Verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because you have God for you, with you, in you. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He not only teaches, but He reminds us. Listen, if we continue to take in God's Word, you'll be surprised what comes to mind during the times of life you need it the most. Let me conclude the service with this thought. He says that He teaches and reminds us God that's in us. Back when, a couple years ago, took Lily, our daughter, and I use it often because it's a great example, just to have her 7-year, man, I guess it's been longer than that, her 7-year checkup. And I thought everything was great and fine, but then the doctor said, bend over, let me check your spine. And she looked up and she said, you need to go take an x-ray at Cobb right now. And so as a dad, I mean, listen, I'm still learning how to be a dad and be strong. And you know, that's my daughter. And so we went over there to Cobb and they took an x-ray. And I stood back there with the nurse and I was looking at the screen. And man, I seen a curvy spine. And listen, if it's not your daughter or child, it's just scoliosis. Everybody has it. But when it's yours, thoughts come up in your mind. When it's your child, and you're viewing your child through an earthly father's eyes, which through me being an earthly father, Lord, she don't deserve a curvy spine. She's a good girl. But you know what happened? It's God's honest truth. I was not even thinking about the Bible. I was looking at that screen. God said, I can make the crooked thing straight. Is it straight? No. It's not straight. We go to the doctor quarterly. She wears the brace every night, tries to. Listen, that's hard work, wearing a brace every night. She has to wear it for 10 years. And so we try to give her little breaks and things along those lines. And there was a long time where every time we went everywhere, I was falling behind her. I was doing a back check, and it started to bother her. I said, I'm sorry, baby. No more. And I realized that I needed to trust the Lord with her back. And I have just got to the place where I have totally given that. Listen, oh, everybody, but if it's your child, I have just got to the place where I'm able to totally give it to God and trust the verse He gave to me out of Isaiah where He says, I can make the crooked thing straight. Listen, I know who that verse was for. I know what was that in the Bible. And whatever happens, that's comforting me right now. And I'm hanging on to that. But just now, Lord, however you want to make that spine straight. Listen, I know they're listening down there, and I don't know if she's listening or not, but I say this for the message's sake in conclusion. He may choose surgery to make that thing straight. Huh? I'm praying naturally. After All that work with that brace. But guess what? Whatever avenue he chooses, I believe that she's going to be okay. Because God can make the crooked thing straight. And I said all that to say this, that if God is in you, he will bring all things to your remembrance. Father God, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I've tried my best to just encourage your people, the fact that you are for us, with us, in us. Help us, Lord, to leave this place encouraged and ready to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you come. As we sing.
Sir.